Welcome to our hype special number 3. It's time to talk about Ready Player One. I'm Marima, and I have with me the whole gang today. We have Selena, we have Pam, we have Kyle, and we have a very special guest. Katie, is this the second time you've been on hype? Have you been on before?
Second time.
You are on our Not at Comic Con Sad Fest episode.
That's right.
None of us were on except Selena. Well, now you can be happy because we're going to talk about Ready Player One, except Slither Alert. Katie didn't really like it. So if this is the first time you have listened to Hype, we are Hyperbull's flagship entertainment podcast, and we usually talk each week about the latest news in TV and film and movies and sometimes music and books and what else is going on. But we also do these special episodes where we just can't limit ourselves to a short discussion on something, and we have been talking about Ready Player One for literally months, and it's finally time to do a whole episode discussion on it. So we are very, very excited, especially Selena, because she has been organizing this or trying to for a really long time.
I'm so happy whenever we manage these specials because it's very hard work.
Yeah, we've got we have an extra time zone with Katie as well, so like I'm even more impressed that we're managing to do this. So, of course, if you want to leave us some feedback about this, you can in the comments of this podcast post on hyperbull.com, which is hyperbull.com, or you can tweet us at hyperbullhype. You can find us on Instagram too, hyperbullhype, but I don't think there's anything Ready Player One relevant over there. But there's a picture of Bill Murray, so, you know, something for everyone. Let's jump right into it. I first want to know, you guys, I think I know the answer to this, but our audience may not. Everyone's overall verdict, would you say read the book or don't read the book? And let's start with Selena.
I would say read the book for sure. I really liked it, as you guys know if you've listened to Hype, that we kind of tend to talk about it every week because we like it so much. And I think, I mean, we're going to get into some of the more specifics, but overall, I would say I read it like super quickly because it's so engaging and it's a page turner, definitely. So yeah, read it for sure.
I would say that I read it for the second time to do the show because the first time I read it was like years and years ago. And even after doing a reread, definitely holds up. So I would say for sure, read it. And, you know, I mean, if you haven't read it, you really need to switch off after this conversation.
It's
going to be a spoiler-filled show.
Would actually say maybe get the audiobook if you're into audiobooks, because I know Will Wheaton narrates. And I had a lot of people on Twitter actually recommend the Ready Player One audiobook because it's really good, but I didn't know. So if you, for some reason, are listening to this and you haven't read it yet, consider the audiobook.
And Katie, what about you?
I didn't hate it.
I love your defensive tone.
I would recommend it if you need a quick read with not a lot of substance.
Harsh. Ooh, Ben. And Pam and Kyle, I'm assuming you're on the definitely read it side.
Yes. Yeah. Although, if you want to like get really specific, like if you want to go to book hype status, where you're like buy or borrow, I would say borrow and don't buy.
But interesting.
Yeah.
That's funny because the only reason I read this book was because it was borrowed to me. Like I borrowed it from somebody. So, yeah, I guess that works. Although I did have to go out and buy a copy because of this episode. So
look at us supporting the book industry.
I went to my local bookstore.
A physical copy. Wow.
I just got the ebook.
It's great.
How retro of you.
I know. It fits into the theme of this show. You know?
I love it. Yeah, so good. Okay, so as we said, if you haven't read Ready Player One, this is your cue to turn off, go and download the audiobook, get it on your e-reader, go and buy the physical book like Pam, if that's what you're into, go and borrow it maybe, like Kyle said. And then once you've read it, you can come back and listen because this is going to be full of spoilers going forward. So that's your warning. That's all you get. Let's talk about characters before we kind of delve into the plot and things, because I just, for some reason, decided to draw Harry Potter analogies to every character. Let's start off with Wade. I guess. I personally didn't like Wade that much. I found him, like, very interesting as a character. And I don't necessarily think you need to like a character or find them relatable or even sympathetic to kind of find them interesting to read about. He was certainly interesting, but he was not that nice of a person, and he was kind of needy and sort of annoying. I don't know if anyone else felt that way. I'm just giving this such a ring.
Yeah, I agree.
No, I didn't like Wade at all, really. Like, his whole character seemed too, almost like too perfect in a way, like in his skills and his skill set, and he just seemed a little creepy in his affection for Artemis, so I wasn't a fan.
Yeah, well, I think I sort of agree, but I think the whole unlikability thing for me kind of didn't. I mean, I could kind of forgive him for it, if you know what I mean, because I feel like it is obviously. I mean, the Ernest Cline is trying to paint a picture of a geek, and I think that's the whole sort of crux of whether you love the book or you don't love the book is if do you think that Ernest Cline is genuine in his depiction of a geek, or do you think he's sort of playing into the culture without really being a geek himself? And I imagine that there's probably a lot of himself in this character. I imagine that a lot of people who maybe exist in this online sphere, they live in their own heads a lot, you know? I mean, until Wade starts acting on his own, he's really only... He's a very passive participant, but he does what he can to make himself more active, I guess. So I think I sort of agreed with you guys at the beginning of the book, but once he actively started fighting for what he wanted and went out there and started doing stuff, like taking risks, I was like, okay, well, he's not just a creep. Like, he's not just in his own head. He can actually translate his skills. So I think I grew to like him by the end, if that makes sense.
No, that totally does. And actually, that raises an interesting point, because I wonder if you guys kind of differentiate between, like, the characters and their avatars online. You know, do you think that Wade is a substantially different character or even, like, a very different character from Parzival or any of the others? Obviously, there are some who are quite different, but, you know, Wade kind of makes a point of being like, oh, you know, like, we kind of look similar. He's just, like, a hotter version of me, and... I don't know. Do you think that they're like two different characters in a way, or are they basically the same?
I think that was really hard for me, because now that you've brought it up, I feel like if you take into account that his whole life is a virtual life, then you would have to argue that they are two different people, but he lives like the person he wants to be in this digital world. But I feel like that's the point of his character, kind of, because we go into it kind of knowing that he's just engrossed in being in this virtual reality. And for him, that is real life. But he doesn't really have a lot of interaction with people in the outside world. So, I mean, at the same time, though, that is like, it's not an uncommon factor. Like, we've all been in fandoms. We've all come from fandoms, and we know people like him, so you know, or just maybe like less extreme versions of Wade. Yeah. So
and there is that sort of sense of, well, we are more or less, I think people can be representations of themselves online, and it depends on what I mean. I guess we are kind of less, because we do like journalism stuff, so we do sort of exist more in the like We use our own names, I assume. This is confession time.
No, well, none of you guys that I've met have ever been 40 men, so...
Right.
Hey, no one has met Katie, so I'm just saying.
She could still be a creepy man.
Yeah, I don't know. That could be a really
high-pitched voice.
Yes, well, you disguise it. You have a filter. But this is a good conspiracy. But no, I mean, like, it's... We've seen each other in real life. We go to real life things. But I think for someone who literally like builds their world around the internet, maybe I'm just comparing him favorably to some like other people that we may have encountered. Like, I'm thinking, well, he's pretty okay. Like, considering his life so far, he's pretty normal, all things considered.
I think I did the same thing, because I think when I was reading this, I was like, all right, if I like
if Wade was like a hypeable staffer, yeah. Right? And I went to meet him, like, oh, would he be God the same us. Online as he would in person? And I decided that he would be like slightly awkward at first because, yeah. You know, like you would have to be if you only talk to people online. Like, it's really hard to have the same kind of rapport and like the pattern of speech that you have if you're just automatically typing everything in a box, like mm-hmm. in person, you know? So I think he would be like a slightly, just like his avatar is the better version of himself. I think he'd be like a little more lackluster in person, yeah. But not like all the traits would still be there, but it would be hard to pull them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. He kind of amplifies himself for his online persona in a way.
Right.
Okay, so that's interesting. I wanted to go back to something that Kyle said, which was about Wade being sort of too good at everything, was something else. You know, I'm kind of in two minds about this because, like, obviously no one's going to write a book about the person who was really bad at the egg hunt and, like, didn't get anywhere in it. That would not be an interesting thing to read. But
do you think that's why Neville's not the main character.
Yeah, seriously. So it's not Neville in the Philosopher's Stone. But do you think that in a way it kind of took some of the tension out of the story? Like, did we ever really feel, it's hard for me to remember because I read it so long ago, but do we ever feel like Wade was not going to win because he has memorized everything? He's so mm-hmm. good at everything. He seems so much smarter and better and like just ahead of everyone in a way that I don't think I ever felt, oh, maybe he won't win. You know, I was always like, oh, yeah, you know, eventually, once we get there.
Like, there were, like, outside forces, because I think that's what it was. Like, if he hadn't won, it would have been because the others cheated, you know? So I think that did sort of add the tension.
Okay, so you did feel that?
But in terms of him, I know you have this a little bit later in the doc, but in terms of him having this insane photographic memory, that was the one thing about the book that I did not enjoy because it was so unrealistic to me. Like, I get that my memory sucks and I'm a little bit bitter about it because I would never be able to remember half the stuff, but it was just a time thing. Like, how old is Wade? Like 16 17?
He's like graduating, right? So I assumed like 17 18. I think he says he's 18,
right? And he's been in the Oasis for however many years. In that time, I know he doesn't have a social life, but he does because he visits these places. In that place, he's not only has he read everything, he's memorized everything. Like, there is no possible way, like, even if because obviously, like, he could have, like, he's drawn to this online world. Like, you might think maybe his memory is really good in certain ways and not in other ways. That type of photographic, completely encyclopedic knowledge he has of every single movie and every single game, and he's played the game like a million times. I'm just thinking in terms of like my own life and the amount of hours in the day, there is no possible way. Like, there's no way.
Here's my counter like point to this, right? So like, I think that the only reason this works is because he's so similar in like the mindset in like to James Halliday himself. And so he's just not necessarily like, he doesn't necessarily know everything. He just happens to know the right things that Halliday would have.
That's true. But I mean, in terms of what he talks about knowing, like, he was like, oh, well, I memorized every single one of the blah, blah, blah books just in case I needed to know something on page 37. So
like the fact that he can like completely recreate entire movies like for like his challenges and like he's like, I got this, no problem,
right?
I'm like, no, like, I feel like it would have been way more believable if this had been a book about two people going together to fight this, because then you wouldn't expect one character to know all this. And whereas if like Wade had any faults, like his partner, his friend, could have done the other part. And I know we have like the other characters like Artemis and Egg and everyone, but like, I feel like just in general, the entire book would have been better if you split Wade into two people to make it more believable, because just having one character that knows everything is just a little meh.
I feel like he exaggerates. Like, he might be an unreliable narrator, you know? Like, if you think about people like Wade that would exist today, like, for example, I'll just use Harry Potter as an example. We've all met those fans that are like, oh, I've read the books like 20 times each, but in reality, they've only read them like 3 times each. You know what I mean? It just like ups the street cred. So,
guys, I feel like read them like 20 times each.
Yeah. Well, actually, for you, I would believe it because you read like a lot.
This is like the one time on this show that I'm telling the truth. Yeah, Pam, I totally see that. But I think also, you know, we should probably move on from this. But I do think the point of it was like it's an unhealthy obsession that he has. And I think Klein does make that point where he says like Wade spends, he could spend, you know, 16 hours in the Oasis or something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And he like goes to his hideaway thing and he sits in school and like I guess the time he's in school he can read certain things, like he can read Halliday's book, and you know afterwards it just seems like he spends all his time playing games and et cetera, because he obviously has no family life, he doesn't have any friends, like yeah. he's literally doing nothing else except for this. And I do think it's, you know, maybe a little too convenient. Like the film thing in particular stuck out to me because we all have movies that we've seen, you know, maybe like 20 times, our favorite movies, but could we actually recreate all the dialogue and all of the gestures in the film? You know, probably not. That does seem maybe slightly outside the realm, but anyway.
I just remember it bothering me.
Yeah. Yes. Selena was bothered. Noted. Let's talk about, I guess, the Ron and Hermione to Wade's Harry, H and Artemis. I love H.
Yeah, me too.
That character was, I think that's my favorite character. Artemis, I was also a fan of. What did you guys think of these two before we go a little more in depth?
I liked H a lot. I think H was awesome. I especially loved the twist at the end. I was waiting for one of these characters to be not who they claimed. And I'm actually really happy that it was H. In terms of Artemis, I was not a fan of Artemis at all. Just because she seemed to, cocky and confident. And like the fact that like she was so beautiful. And then like when Wade looked at a picture, it was like the same exact girl, and I was like, all right, you're just like this stereotypical really pretty girl that this geek is gonna go chase after. All right, yeah. That's exactly how
I felt as well, because I feel like it was kind of played into a trope which I'm not a fan of, which is that the guy, the nerdy guy. I mean, I know she had, obviously she was second best, but the nerdy guy sort of does everything that shouldn't get him the girl in the real world, but because it's this fantasy land of nerds, his ultimate reward is not only getting the girl, but finding out that she's pretty. You know, like ultimately, that's what yeah. what it was. It's like his reward for being an uber nerd is the girl who turns out to be pretty, and that bothered me too.
Well, he thinks she's pretty. I mean, this is entirely from his perspective,
of course,
right?
I just mean,
she may not be at all,
and that's true. And they did sort of hint at that it was. But I just feel like, you know, what if he, like, what if you know she hadn't been, like, you know, what if she'd been like super something that he wouldn't find attractive. You know what I mean? Like, I don't
Do you think
know.
It would have mattered to him? Do you think by that point
don't
it
you
was
think it would have?
He was like already too in love with her that it would have wouldn't have mattered?
I like to I think see, that's true.
I would like
me too, Selena.
See...
Me too.
I would like to see a world in which Artemis was the gender bend, or Artemis was the one that was the least expected person, because that would have been astounding.
Oh, how great would that have been if she actually was a 40-year-old man named Chuck?
Or like something. I feel like that would have been so much, like there could have been a real like impact there if like it was actually like this kid that was like just scared of being who he was, and then Wade was like, you know what, you're still awesome. Like that's fine, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Although I do think that when you're reading the book, Klein is setting it up for you to think that Artemis might be that person.
Wrong.
You know,
yeah.
Because Artemis is the one that Wade is constantly like, oh, what does she look like in real life? And, you know, I want to meet her, and et cetera. Whereas H, it's never mentioned. It never comes up. So you kind of don't think about it. Mm-hmm. And then when that twist happens, I personally really liked that twist. Although, Kyle, I think that would have been kind of amazing the way that you're describing as well. I don't know. I have definitely seen some criticism about Ready Player One that says it would have been better for H or Helen, as we know I guess he was in the real world. I'm not sure. I guess he uses pronouns, male pronouns in the game. That if Helen had been, you know, Helen in the Oasis as well, like the actual way that she looked, like a African American woman of not the dream body type, that would have actually been better than having like the kind of flip at the end. But I really liked the flip because I think that it showed a really interesting thing about this Oasis, that it still operated on the same kind of norms that we have now, and that even though in some ways it was kind of a utopia for certain people like Wade perhaps, who doesn't operate so well in reality, it was also not necessarily a welcoming place for everyone else, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I thought it was a good idea, but I don't think it was executed very well because we never got reference to that anywhere else in the story. It was just kind of thrown in there at the end, that how she looked would impact how she's treated.
Oh, I see. So like you would have liked to see, well, I mean, did we not see that Artemis was kind of dismissed a little bit because like she was a girl? And I thought that we kind of got that sense, but maybe I was just reading into that. I don't know.
Was she dismissed because she was really popular, right?
Yeah, she was.
Right, but I kind of thought it was that same thing that Selena had, where she was like the one token girl that had kind of broken in. Do you know what I mean? But like she was unique in that way.
Right.
Because
yeah.
She did seem to be the only girl there. And you know, I suppose I read that as like a social commentary of the fact that, you know, women would not have been expected or would not have been included in that way. Although, you know, if you're reading it, counter to that, you could say that Klein is saying that women didn't have the capacity to do it. I'm not sure how I feel on that.
Well, see, then that's very interesting because you have one girl who is like, I'm just going to be myself, which is Artemis. And then you have H or Helen who feels like she has to hide who she is to actually get ahead in the game. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice little juxtaposition of situations there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. In terms of Wade and Artemis's or Samantha's relationship, I guess I have to say I was not a fan of the relationship between them, but I did like her as a character. But I would have liked it better without the relationship because I think that definitely did tie into that geek girl trope that we don't need any more of. Super boring to read about.
Also, in your little parallel, that means that Harry and Hermione get together.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that as I read it. Well, then I was like, wait, does that maybe I couldn't work out a way to make it. So otherwise it would have like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense. And let's be real. In most book series, it is the Harry and the Hermione that get together.
So true. Team Ginny forever.
Oh, yes.
That's a whole other conversation. Okay, we should talk about the plot, but did you guys want to talk about any of these other characters? We have obviously Halliday, who seems straight up crazy. We have Ogden Morrow with the weirdest name to ever exist.
Yes.
We have Fred and George, also known as Dito Soto, which is so tragic when you think of it. And then we have Voldemort and the Sixers, or yes, whoever that is. I don't know. I liked that the big bad in this was like a corporation. You know, I liked that it wasn't just one insane dude.
Me too.
It was like this corporation that was trying to take over. I thought that was really interesting.
And again, it is his Ernest Cline's commentary, I think, on just the individuality of it's all about net neutrality, guys.
Seriously.
The individuality of fan creations and then these big corporations try to monetize everything and try to change it and try to make it theirs.
100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I found it funny that that, you know, you could definitely read this book as like Halliday as being this one dude who's just decided everyone needs to love all the stuff that I love. Yeah. And I think that Klein kind of points out that that's a bit nuts because he describes Halliday like firing someone because they didn't pick up on his weird 80s reference. Mm. But at the same time, Ready Player One is really like forcing all of these 80s references on all of us, an audience who may otherwise be unfamiliar. So there was a slight sense of irony there for me.
Yeah, but did you guys find, because I know I sometimes did, but I could sort of look past it, but did you guys find that all the references that you didn't get sort of impaired your enjoyment, or that it sort of made you pause? Because I know a lot of times when there's references that people don't get, sometimes they're like, oh, it ruins everything for me. But I just kind of, like in the cinema or whatever, like you just kind of let it go. So I guess that's what it was for me. Like, I didn't stop to look up all the stuff I didn't know, but I just kind of accepted that I didn't know it and moved on.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think you really needed to, because they explained a lot of it anyway.
That's true, too.
Which was my problem with it. It's like, I get it.
Yeah.
You know everything, Wade. We understand.
Yeah.
You're an expert. Let's move on.
But, you know, did you find that all the references, like the target audience for this book, even though it feels a lot like a YA book, that the target audience is actually like Will Wheaton's generation, you know, that slightly older, like 10 years older than us, who grew up with the classic consoles and with arcades and with 80s movies and stuff like that?
I think so, for sure.
Yeah.
It was like all of these references, I did not understand half of them. Like, I just he would say like a game and I'd be like, what in the world is that?
Kind of made me want to play some of them, though.
You know,
I mean, yeah, for sure.
You guys could have solved all your problems if you had just watched VH1's I Love the 80s. Because I feel like that is the reason I knew a lot of these references. But also being born in the early, like the late 80s myself, like I feel like a lot of it trickles down over into 90s kids too. Or at least that's what I found with like my own childhood. So when I read something like this, or when I watch something like I Love the 80s, for example, I find that I know more references for the things that happened in the 80s than I do than what was going on in the 90s, because I don't know, maybe that's just me, but I feel like pop culture has a funny way of trickling down. So in a sense, I feel like you could probably still enjoy this book even if you weren't like 80s obsessed.
Well, I think I'm a good barometer for that, because I was born in the 90s and 80s have never been my like area of interest or expertise in terms of pop culture or music or anything like that. So I really didn't know most of these, and it was actually really fun for me when I did know one.
Yes.
Like there was a reference in it to Flying High, which was called Airplane in America, which was this like ridiculous, amazing, best movie ever made.
What, Airplane? Yeah. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so good. Right. And it was made in 1980, I think. And there was like just a throwaway line reference to it. There was just a joke that was from the movie in one of Wade's conversations. And if you didn't know the film, you would not have even noticed that that was a reference, you know. So some of them were very subtle in that way. But for me, when I recognized that, I got so excited because I didn't know like basically any of the others. But it really didn't bother me in a way. I could have read this and all of the references could have been made up and it wouldn't have made a difference to me. Do you know what I mean? Like it fueled the story enough. I didn't feel like it was distracting. And like Katie said, the ones that you needed to know were explained, at times over-explained. Mm. So you never felt like you were missing something because you didn't know that game or you hadn't seen that movie, you know. But I do think there would have been an added element of enjoyment for people who had kind of grown up with all of these things, because we all like nostalgia for our childhoods.
Sure. But I also think, like, just for me, what it does, because I know that we'll probably get into this a little bit later too, but I know that this sort of particular focus on the 80s, it feels a little forced, but I think books like this really are important to carry on some of these things that might otherwise have been forgotten, because I do think what Ready Player One does, however imperfectly it does it, I think it does bring some of these classics institutions to a new generation who might pick up this book going, yay, it's fandom, like Rainbow Rowell to Ernest Klein. But then what they actually do find is sort of a crash course in 80s pop culture and in sort of the beginning of some of these platforms, that now is the internet, that now is game consoles, that now is movies, you know, like it, now it's movies, but it's just, it's almost like a more entertaining documentary at times, sort of taking you back to this time of fandom that is never coming back, you know, that you might not otherwise know anything about, you know. And it does sort of, for me at least, encourage me to look up some stuff and maybe check out some of the things that he mentioned, you know.
Yeah, and I honestly think, regardless of how you feel about it, you do need to give Klein some props for like the meticulous research that has gone into this, because you know, he must have obviously been an 80s geek, like he would have known a lot of this stuff, but there is no way, as we discussed with Wade, there is no way he could have actually just known all of this. Yeah. So the amount of
detail, sorry, but there's just no way.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not getting past this. There is no way. The amount of detail that has gone into this is like super impressive, and it's actually a really, like you say, it's kind of a really interesting exercise in the kind of preservation of that period.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like it's kind of fun. And I don't know, the 80s kind of get a bad rap in general in pop culture, I think. Now it's like a little cooler because all of the arcade games and stuff, like that's hip and cool and retro, etc. Like buying a book in real life. Mm-hmm. But, you know, otherwise maybe people just kind of dismiss the 80s. So it was nice to see them get some get their time to shine, as it were. And that seems to be Ernest Cline's kind of mission in life. So, you know,
yeah,
expect more on that front. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, I guess, the Oasis. Something that I found interesting in this is that, I don't know about you guys, but when I was reading it, it was very easy for me to forget that all of this was happening like in a headset that was projecting light onto someone's retinas, and that actually, if you're watching a movie of this, which we'll get to later, you would just be seeing Wade like sitting in his little shed for hours and hours and hours with just nothing happening. I was like, imagine if you watched a movie of what the real life was like while all of this was going on. Which just was like sitting.
But that would be so funny. Yeah. Like, think of the last battle, right? And it does kind of like what Ant-Man does, where it goes from this super epic thing, and then all of a sudden, like, the noise gets canceled out, and then you're back in this little, like, one room cell.
So it's kind of like, you know, speaking of Marvel.
And then it goes back, and you've got, like, Mecha Godzilla, and then you're back just in this little room.
So true.
But speaking of Marvel, it's kind of like if you watched Iron Man entirely from inside the suit. You know, like, because every time you cut to the suit, it's like, to me, it's so awkward because it's like, so action, action, action. And then you just see his face like, Jarvis, I think we should blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, and he's like all calm.
That was a great Robert Downey Jr. impression.
Yeah, thanks.
I think we should acknowledge that. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It was just weird to me. Like every so often I'd remind myself like, oh, none of this is actually happening.
Yeah.
You know, they'd be like, oh, we're going to this place. But you're not.
Again,
just
I mean, we are all fans. We all know how to like, we live ourselves into these stuff. Like when we read a book, you know, if you had to make a movie about someone reading a book, it'd be the same thing, or us sitting by the computer
also
writing articles.
I want to know how realistic like these Oasis sequences were when you guys are reading them, because I don't know why, because obviously it's supposed to be like this amazing super realistic virtual reality, but for me it was like The Sims.
But, like, really, oh my really god.
Oh man. Well, if only Wade knew the way to defeat Sorrento was to put him in a pool and take out the ladder.
Yeah, make something burn at the stove.
Like really bad graphics in my head. I think I watched a cartoon special of
That's interesting. No, I just imagined it like not exactly real. I think, you know, it's funny because now that you say that, I think I imagined those Miis from like the Wii console. Like those big heads.
Oh
like
God. Oh my that's God. That's actually what I was imagining. Yeah. In my head. Like,
but the world was real.
That's amazing.
I had this problem where I kept imagining Wade from Kim Possible as Wade, like normal Wade. So like,
that's okay. My Artemis was like, was Wanda from the Magic School Bus. I swear to God.
What?
I don't even know. Don't ask. My brain is a strange place.
That's funny.
Seriously. Okay, but I was actually making a point before this derailed. I'm going to try and do that again, which was, do you think that because you spend so much time in the Oasis, when something actually goes down in the real world, it kind of has more of a kick? And I'm thinking of, I guess, two examples. The first one being when, like, Wade's whole family and, you know, neighborhood, the trailer stack, is just blown up. And then, like, two pages later, it seems that he's totally fine with it and has forgotten about it. You know, like, you really, I felt in that was very underwhelming. I kept being like, come on, Wade, like, you probably need to have some kind of reaction to this in some way. But then the second one is when he gets himself arrested, and I felt for the first time that was when he really understood, like, oh, if something goes wrong in real life, I can't just, like, reset my avatar. Like, I'll be here forever.
Yeah.
You know?
What about when, is it Dido that died? Like, died?
That's true. but again, you know, at that point, Wade, love him or hate him, he's a pretty self-centered dude. So he's really like, man, that's terrible. Oh, I got this, like, awesome, like, power thing. Sweet. That's great. Thank you so much.
That's meanwhile, what he look is, after though. Yourself, I mean, at least it's consistent. I mean, I totally agree with you that there needs to be some reaction. I find that in books sometimes, actually, that it's really hard for authors to make their characters, like, basically break down, because you're trying to push the plot along and suddenly something comes up that just would totally stop you short in real life. But no one wants to read about that. So I think that wasn't, like, it was a bit of a problem, but it was a kind of a common problem. So I think I let him go.
In Wade's case, that might be a product of him always being in a non-reality environment.
Yeah, I think that plays into it too.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
He's, kind of just really, I was just going to say desensitized to reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is why it's so jarring when he gets captured.
And he didn't really like his family anyway. From the, like, like, it was, I mean, really sad.
Deserves what to about die. The old lady? Like, a couple, like, families down.
Exactly. We just had this whole thing about how great she was, and he was like, that means everyone's dead, even that old lady. Anyway, I better go back into other places.
Yeah.
Cool.
But he is emotionally stunted, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
As someone who enjoys reading books with, like, character death in it, I feel like the character death in this book was not satisfying because there was no repercussions for anyone, really. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't like Downton Abbey where someone dies and everyone's like, oh my God. It's like, oh, okay, well. There we go.
Right.
Yeah.
None of the characters wanted out of their contract in Ready Player One, though. So. Yeah.
And was it just me, or is it just kind of random when he decided to, like, get himself actually arrested in real life? Like, I don't know. I just feel like that came out of nowhere. Like, it's all virtual, and then he gets himself arrested, and then he does this, and then he gets out really easily, and then that's it. And no one comes looking for him again. I'm like,
yeah. It was too easy.
I didn't like that at all. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Although, you know, I liked the seeing more of reality. I think for me personally, I would have liked to see a little more of that across the book. I really enjoyed the sequences in The Oasis, but it wasn't until I read that I realized I had been missing seeing, like, normal human interaction, because I think you kind of become a little desensitized to it as well. Like, you're reading all of this stuff happening in the Oasis, and yes, things can go wrong, but at the same time, you know, it's not real. And in a way, that kind of lessens the impact, or at least it did for me reading the book. So,
yeah, but that's a really good point too, because I sort of felt like he used real life more or less, exactly the right amount, because I remember that. I think my favorite part of the book where I sort of realized that, not only did I really like the book, but there was parts of it that I could really identify with, was when his whole, like, neighborhood had been blown up, which actually totally caught me by surprise. I was like, oh my God, like, in shock mode. And then he went on the bus, and you see that, like, ruined world, and he sort of takes refuge in the Oasis, and then he gets to the new town, he sets up the apartment, he begins to get his gear, and when he's not, like, he begins to exercise. That was kind of funny, like a training montage. But What I found, like, in that sense was, like, the difference between, like, the stark, like, nakedness almost of the real world and just colorless feel of it, and then the oasis. And I wanted, as a reader, I wanted to go back into the oasis. I was like, why are we in this real world? It's so cold and uncomfortable, and this little stark little room, but he built himself this oasis haven, and I was like, oh, that's nice, can we just stay here? I was like, wait, can we just hang out here forever? That's a little bit scary, but that made me, you know, feel something.
Well, that's a good point. And you know, I mean, what about the real world, I guess, quote unquote, in general, like, what was happening there? I mean, we kind of get in the first few pages, client tells us, like, oh yeah, you know, like, mushroom clouds destroying cities and killer viruses and climate change and all of this stuff. Yeah, everything's all apocalypses, like, gone to hell. In one. Yeah, everything has gone to hell, but everyone still has their, like, computer to play, or, you know, whatever, to do all of this. I mean, like, has everyone just given up on the world? The only person who seemed to be concerned about it was Artemis, who was like, hey, maybe if I win all this money, I might try and help some of these people out.
I'm sure there is not more people.
This is Wade's like blasting off into space. I mean, I think, you know, again, like, this is all from the second time I read this, so some of these things jumped out to me a little more, but I was really curious this time about, like, what were the governments doing during this? Like, why weren't they going after this egg? Or, you know, why didn't they have some kind of interest in this whole race that seemed to have, like, consumed all of the Earth?
I don't think it consumed everyone. Like, I admit, this might be me wrong, so feel free to correct me, but I feel like, I mean, there were lots of people hunting for it, but for most people, it was just like a weekend, like, oh, let's go check the oasis, let's see if I can find the clue. Like, there were people that were, like, the Gunters were really into it, but it's no more or less than would be into, like, any random fandom, you know? Random fandom.
It's like, there was a comment made that a lot of people were invested in it more, not just for fandom stuff, but in general. I mean, that old lady went there for church or something too, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, the egg hunt itself, like, people use the oasis for other stuff, but just in terms of being obsessed with the egg hunt, I feel like that wasn't that many people. So people just kind of live their lives, you know?
Like, people are living their lives. People are, like, living their lives on the oasis. Do you know what I mean? So at least my sense from reading the book was that there were not a lot of people who kind of existed outside of that.
Right, you know, like, yeah, that was what I thought too.
They work in the oasis, they go to school in the oasis, like, they go to church in the oasis. Like, I don't know, are they paying taxes in the oasis? Like, what is... I just didn't understand, I guess, this, like, disconnect between... And I'm not saying it's not like a plot flaw or anything. I was just really curious. I always want details on the things that are not relevant to the plot, so, like, bear with me. Well, but, I think, you know, I just didn't... I couldn't... I guess for myself, I couldn't really, like, conceptualize how that would work in the world.
But I don't think that is how it worked, because I got the impression from reading it that most people use, like, they had those rudimentary sets, or they could only visit, like, all the kids that could only visit the school world. So a lot, I think what it is like, we're in this future where a lot of things have been digitalized, kind of like we all sit in front of our computers all day and go to work, and we work in this virtual space of writing or of filling out spreadsheets or of answering phones, but we still go home at night and we still go out into the real world, and I didn't get the impression that the streets were empty. Or that, like, everyone just sort of floated in these hubs. Like, people still need to get food. And I think Wade's situation, when he set himself up in the apartment and had food delivered and all those things, I don't think that's how people live. And there were these, like, quote-unquote internet cafes, too, where you could buy some time with whatever it was called. So I think for most people, the Oasis is just like an extended internet, basically. It's like a computer you live yourself into, but it doesn't mean that you're not existing in the real world. But I do think it does mean that you maybe care a little bit less about fixing the real world. I think you're right about that, because, like Wade, like, why would you ever go outside if you can escape into this virtual reality? But I think for most people in the world, escaping permanently is not an option.
But I also got the impression that a lot of people couldn't afford the luxuries there. So, like, what do? You just save up all your money and then, like, buy yourself a one-way ticket to, like, Hogwarts and that's it.
But you
just stay there forever.
You
like,
need real food and you need to move and you need to go to the bathroom and you need to go outside. Like, I think people do.
And to me, like, to be honest with you, the most interesting thing I found when rereading it was that the currency in the Oasis was valued higher than any other currency in the real world. Mm-hmm. When if you think about it, like everything somebody owns in the Oasis is not a tangible thing. Mm-hmm. Like the Oasis can't feed you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And the Oasis doesn't clothe you. And yet you're spending all this money to outfit your virtual self.
Yeah, it is like an online, like it's like D&D or something. It's like, or World of Warcraft or whatever. Like some people spend more time and money on it than other times, but very few people are, some people are, but very few people, you know, live in their game chairs with their headsets on all the time. That's my impression anyway.
We might have to agree to disagree on that
one. But there were people on the streets, though. I mean, there were lots of people around. There were people working. There were people, like, bus drivers. There was people working in the place where he rented the equipment, you know? I mean...
Yeah, but it only seemed like we saw people in the service industry. Like, it only seemed like we saw people who, you know, like, we saw the bus driver, or we saw the delivery man, or we saw the guy who worked at the internet cafe. Like, we didn't see anyone who had a real job or, like, did anything apart from catered to people who needed to get on the Oasis. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know. I think I would have to read it again and pay closer attention because I'm sure there are hints throughout it, but it just seemed like from the way that he described the world that it could, like, everyone had just kind of given up on it.
And yeah, like, I think that's true.
Collectively decided to be like, okay, well, it's like migrating to a new planet, except that the planet was this like visor thing that you wear and you don't have to worry about what's happening outside.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's true. I think it's just like what Pam said. A lot of people don't have the option of escaping into the Oasis because it's expensive. But I think most people would want to.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Oasis because we've kind of been talking around it for a little while. First of all, everyone, we asked you guys on Twitter to tell us where you would go in the Oasis, but I'm curious where you guys would go. And I'm going to just go ahead and say Hogwarts is not allowed to be the option.
That's what all literally everyone said.
Literally everyone said Hogwarts. So, you know, my question about this was like, does copyright and stuff exist in the Oasis?
I don't
like,
think
can people
so.
Just build anything?
No. Yeah, I think people
That's
can just build anything.
I mean, you know, I'm assuming the reason we didn't see some of this stuff in Klein's book is maybe because, like, copyright exists in our world and he maybe couldn't have included it or, you know, wasn't necessarily relevant to the 80s. But, yeah, let's go around. Where would everyone go? Obviously Hogwarts. And where else? Katie, what about you?
The Shire.
Aww, that's a good one.
I love it. Yeah. Selena?
I would probably go to the land in Legend of Zelda, and I would get a horse and I would ride around saving the kingdom. That would be so amazing.
I love that I can count on you to choose Zelda, like, no matter what the conversation is. I would for sure go to to Lyra's world in His Dark Materials, because then you could get demon and, like, see what your personality was, which is basically, like, finding out what your Patronus is or, like, your Animagus, so... And obviously Middle Earth because, that would be amazing. And also Narnia. And also, can I go everywhere? Can I go everywhere, please? Kyle, did you have somewhere in mind?
No, I would get a TARDIS.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Good answer.
So nowhere specific, but then, I would definitely get a TARDIS.
Nice. And Pam?
Well, you pretty much named all the badass fantasy worlds, so I guess I would probably go somewhere fairy tale like, so maybe like Oz or Wonderland or Neverland or something like that.
Oh, I like
it. Great.
We have a nice range there.
I felt like I had to contribute to the variety, you know.
Yeah, that's it's a good time. Man, it'll be so fun. Also, those where you get to like play through your favorite movie. I know I said before how stupid it was that Wade actually knew all the things, but that would be such a fun game to be able to do the dialogue. I was,
but no,
I was
like, nobody's going to Panem, right? Like,
hell no,
no.
I love that. What's that? There's a thing that goes around Tumblr every so often that it's like Harry Potter fans want to go to Hogwarts and Lord of the Rings fans want to go to the Middle Earth, and Hunger Games fans are like, we're good, thanks.
Yes. Very
much. You know, we're fine. That's okay. We'll observe from a distance. Okay, so, you know, we all want to hang out in the Oasis, obviously. I guess a little more seriously talking about this, do we think that the virtual reality was a good thing? Like, was he saying that it was a good thing? And this kind of ties into the end because, like, do we think that Wade was going to delete it at the end? Or would we have deleted it?
Hell no.
Like, what would be better?
No, Selena's I like, think oh. If they deleted it, everyone in the real world would be screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like as you guys were saying earlier, like, we're not seeing any existence of a world that exists without the Oasis. And so I feel like if you take away the Oasis completely, then no one's going to know how to operate and everything's going to be chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But does that
maybe that's what they need
necessarily? Or, like, is it just the lesser of two evils? Like, is the fact that the Oasis exists, is that why?
Well, we can ask this about the internet as well, can we? Like, just to a lesser degree. I sometimes think, what if the internet just shut off and we were forced, like, to live in the real world completely? And I think, and I'm sort of like, it's almost like dirty. I'm like, ooh, maybe, maybe that would
talk
be
to each other in person.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it's obviously because people use, I mean, I like to think I use the internet in a moderate way for work and for, you know, but I that idea of just shutting off cold turkey and going back, you know, to my hut in the woods and chopping wood or whatever. Like, I sort of think, oh, it would be, I know, but that would be such a nice life. I'm like, that would be so, but I do think, I mean, just like with the internet, I think the Oasis does both allows for people to escape the real world, but it also allows for them to maybe get out some frustration that they wouldn't otherwise have got. So I don't necessarily think shutting off the Oasis would fix anything. I think if anything, we would have like a global war. People would just descend into madness. And maybe you can say, okay, well, is it better that they're subdued? Well, I don't know, but it's not like no one's being forced, you know, no one's being forced into the Oasis. So I think making it a better place, making it a more real world relevant place and the whole education thing, I think there's a lot of ways they could use it to fix the world. If that makes sense. You can't just pretend it doesn't exist.
No, that totally makes sense. And we didn't even mention like, they give out the equipment to kids so that, like, everyone can get an education. That's a super important thing. Mm. They have – Wade talks about how he learned how to, like, read and write and add and all of these things from various games that he used to play online. And, you know, they also say you can basically download, like, any book ever and listen to any music ever, like, all of this free access stuff.
Do you think Wade – would last without the Oasis? Like, at the end of the book, he seems
no.
I think
Klein right off into the real sunset together. That's like, well, the impression I got. They turned off,
what,
right?
Yeah, that's what I
mean.
Got.
That's not gonna last. It's like 2 days.
Yeah, well, like a day, so they can make out. You know,
then they get sick of that. Yeah.
Like, then I guess you could make out in the Oasis too, couldn't you? Like, that's
yeah. Well, wait, yeah. What is like sex doll thing?
Yes, that
didn't really
thing.
Work for him.
So, what a boy.
Oh yeah, yeah, I forgot he did that.
Yeah, you know, I think Wade's discovering like there are some things that you cannot get from a virtual reality. But would he survive without it? Definitely not. Like, first of all, he has no skills. So
yeah,
that was the thing I found really funny, which was when he like picks up he gets a gun from like for his apartment, I guess.
Oh yeah,
and he's like, oh, I've never like held a gun in real life, but I knew what to do and it was so familiar because I've shot so many in the Oasis. And I was like, not the same.
No. You know what? If in the movie they don't have him like kicking back with the force of a gun, because that's what happens when you shoot one off, like it kicks, right? Then this is like all wasted. There's no way that he's prepared for that impact. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, he could definitely not survive.
We need to suspend our disbelief where Ernest Cline is like, yeah, yeah, playing video games gives you real skill, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, you can put this stuff on your CV. That's totally fine. You know, I mean, that I feel like, you know, I've been a little critical in the book, but I did genuinely enjoy it. And I feel like part of that was the fact that, like, these kids and all of these people competing, they were winning things because they had spent a lot of time playing Pac-Man. Yeah. And because they had listened to this really obscure music. Like, I loved
it's
that.
Where
I love that
they're superstars.
Was,
yeah.
You know what? I have, like,
odd for like being a super fan. Yeah. That was
but
cool.
You know what? But then you think about what we do, right? And we make our livelihood talking about things we like. And it's like, well, Cotton Kettle, right?
Right. That's what I think. It's right. Not that different from like Tumblr or whatever.
I think I yeah, like but, posted like, we on don't... Facebook the other day. I was like, oh, like I had to write this like 800 word story on Harry Potter news for this website I work for, and I was like, look, Mom, all the fandom stuff finally paid off. And yeah. She was like, damn it.
She's but like, then again, man. Like, you don't know the exact 100% layout of Hogwarts and every single cobblestone that makes
or
up
do
the place.
Oh.
Oh. I had the
Your name was
time.
Not Pam.
I would memorize the hell out of that.
I would too. All day, every day.
Yeah.
But there are people, I mean, I have met real life people who can quote back any movie to me. Like, they'll be like, go into this riff and I'll feel so inferior as a human being. They'll be like, Jaws, so it's a damn big shark out there. I know. Oh my God, what are we going to do to kill it? I obviously don't.
No, no.
But, that you know, is, they'll just keep going back and forth on some random movie. And I'm like, how do you do it?
Right, but they know like 5 to 10 movies by heart, not like Wade knows approximately every movie ever released in the 80s.
No. I mean, I tell Nick, obviously I agree with you. I think it's too much, but I do think just knowing some movies by heart and knowing some games over and over again, or having played them over and over again, it is possible. I just don't think it's to the extent that Wade can do it. But okay, it's a book.
All right, we accept it. It's fiction. Yeah. Fine. It's not a documentary.
Yeah.
As much as we'd like it to be. Not sure about that one. Okay, let's talk about, speaking of, like, filming things, let's talk about the movie.
Oh, my God.
Very exciting. I think this is actually what brought us to talk about Ready Player One in the first place, because we were trying to work out who had read it. So we know that there's a Ready Player One movie. We have a release date, which is December 15th, 2017. So, no pressure, guys. You've got plenty of time to read it if somehow you've made it this far and you haven't done it yet. We know that Steven Spielberg is going to be directing, and we also have a little casting teaser, because we talked about a couple weeks ago that Gene Wilder might be in Ready Player One, or maybe he'll be in the BFG. Apparently Spielberg is trying to pull him out of retirement to get him in one of the movies that he is making. So my question for you guys, because I'm not very good at this, but I think some of you are, is when you were reading it, did you have any like casting in mind? Do you have any dream cast for any of these roles?
Hmm.
I already told you guys, Wanda from Magic School Bus. Part of this. Who cares?
The Mies from
character.
Wii.
Yes.
Yeah, you can cast a couple of characters.
But in all seriousness, like, I would like to see Gaberoy Sidibe as H. I think she would be really funny.
Who is that?
Good at that. Gaberoy Sidibe. You know, she's like an American Horror Story, and she
but
did
for
Precious.
For that character in particular, how much of her would actually be in it, right? Like, what are we going to see?
Okay, so here in the this
right?
is the part that breaks my heart, because I did not see this one coming when I was reading the book. And I was like, there is no way that this is going to stay a plot twist for anybody that goes to see the movie.
Well,
because they're going to have to announce the casting.
Oh, that's a good point as well. But they couldn't. If they announce her as her real name, no one's gonna know.
As Helen.
Oh, yeah, that's
Helen.
True.
It's like, no,
that's
one's
true.
Know. But that's another good point about casting, though, is that are they gonna cast two sets of actors? Like, are they gonna in the Oasis? Is the Oasis gonna be a cartoonish world, like similar to like Space Jam, or is it gonna be like?
And how messed up would that be if you were like, oh, like, Selena, like, you're going to be like, we're casting you in this role, but we're gonna cast like a hotter version of you.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, like, that's what's gonna happen.
Get Emily Blunt in there for all these actors.
Right. But, I mean, that's not what they're going to do. I don't think they're going to find a hotter version of themselves. I just think, I mean, is the Oasis going to be envisioned as a real space, in which case they would need to get avatar versions, which would technically be the real versions. I mean, I think, and this is my theory, and I'll shut up, but I think for Wade, they'll use the same actor because he is just a hotter version of himself. So maybe, like, I don't know, Captain America style, the real life version will be digitally altered, or the Oasis one will be slightly digitally altered, but it'll be the same actor, kind of motion captioning himself. But then for the other two, they'll get different actors.
That is such a good theory. I really like it. I think also because it's Wade's story, it would be really hard to follow it if there were two actors.
It would be like the never-ending story where you have like two boys and it's the same, but not really.
Yes. Yeah, I think that would be a really good way of doing it. And they could just film like the scenes where he's meant to be like kind of a bit chubbier and a bit like dweeby or whatever, because I guess like at the start he's not attractive, but then he gets that amazing thing that locks you out if you can don't exercise. That's the greatest
I want
thing.
That
not just for exercise, just for like anything in your life. Yeah. Imagine if you could set up your computer to not let you on until
you can.
Have like I don't
there's
know
there's an app for that
or you like that. You had
no,
to paddle
my computer
to
doesn't know if I've like done my grocery shopping
that's
or not.
True.
Do you know what I mean? But the Oasis apparently knows when you do everything.
But then it would be like Chris Pratt before and after Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I like it. I think that would be cool. Yeah, I mean, in terms of age, like that is, I feel like it's kind of more of a problem in the movie than in the book, the fact that, you know, she becomes a white male. Because then you really are only going to see, like, these two white dudes running around with each other, you know? I don't know. I wonder if they'll change that at all for the film. Like, maybe like, keep her, like, make her a guy, but make her African-American or something. I don't know. That would be interesting to me.
That.
Yeah, because otherwise it's a little, it feels, even though it's canon to the book, it does feel a little, like, whitewashy.
Yeah,
and
she whitewashed herself.
No, but
that's
then they
the problem.
Have the two Japanese
I know.
Oh,
right?
And I was going to ask about them too. How hard is it going to be not to stereotype Daiso and Shoto? Because
they are already stereotyped.
Themselves. Yeah. Like, that's what I was going to say.
But in
they
the movie,
to
stereotype themselves.
But in the movie, how is that going to look? That's what I'm asking.
Well, right. Well, that's why I feel like this is so interesting, because like you said, I mean, she like whitewashes herself and they stereotype themselves in a way because they're all trying to be these ultra amazing, successful versions of themselves.
They could make a really good point of that. If they pick up on that and do it properly in the movie, I feel like it's Steven Spielberg, right? So like, you know. So they could actually make a really good sort of moral point of them going, well, this is your ideal self and you're all like hot white guys.
Right. You know, it's really I think they would need to amp it up though more than in the book.
What's really funny is that like you're like we're all talking about how everyone's like trying to make the best version of themselves, and then and then here's Artemis with it's her.
She's the only one who's herself.
She doesn't have the birthmark, so like they've all changed something about themselves to kind of conform like that. I thought that was interesting for Artemis, because as with Katie, like I'm not 100% sure if she was super conventionally attractive or if it was just that Wade found her super attractive, but regardless, like it I guess the point was that everyone had something that they would change if they could.
I think it's all a matter of opinion, because he does like allude, like doesn't he say that she has like a Rubenesque figure where everybody else looks like either like model stick thin or like a porn star? Because I was rereading it the other day.
Yeah, I just say that.
So like her flaw is pretty much that she's like an averagely sized woman, which is
how dare she. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like who are they? They're going to cast like Mae Whitman as her and tell her that she's meant to be like fat and ugly or
pretty much.
Probably.
I'm not bitter about that movie. What are you guys talking about? Okay, cool. So, I mean, we've got plenty of time to talk about the movie, but is there anything in particular you guys are excited to see on screen. My question about this is, how much of this are we actually going to be able to see? Because I'm like, including something in the book, like they're going to need to get a lot of copyright for this. Yeah, for a lot of it.
I think for the older stuff is probably easier.
Do we know which studio? Because if it's the same studio that did the Adam Sandler movie,
mm-hmm.
like they did a bunch of like things with 80s games.
I thought it was WB. So for
Warner
some
Brothers.
Reason.
It might. Yeah,
it's Warner Brothers.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, since there's already been a movie that's been played out all the 80s games, I can't imagine it'd be too hard.
Warner Brothers, they can include Harry Potter, guys.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they can also. I want to say they can include Nintendo too.
I think so. I think also, you know, you have what's his face? Steven Spielberg. I keep forgetting his name. And he has access to some properties. He's even mentioned in the book. You'll have like all these 80s arcade games. They need one movie. I don't remember what movie it was in the book, but that movie he goes through.
They Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Well, they do War Games.
War Games, yeah. War Games, so they need that. But if they can't get that, they can just get another one. You know, like it's not going to... They might find something that's a little bit more... And that's like a thing as well for the big screen. I wonder if they're going to try to make it a little bit more accessible. Like they're going to change some of the references to stuff we might know more easily.
Like make it an 80s, 90s fusion.
Yeah.
How weird would that be? It's like, oh, he has to go through Space Jam.
Yes.
And isn't I'm pretty sure Ernest Cline is working on the screenplay or was at least doing a pass at it. So I guess it would be pretty easy to write in those changes as necessary based on copyright and things. Could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing back to book. Did you guys know? I did not know this, but I found out as I was researching that apparently Ready Player One could be a trilogy. He has ideas for, guess what the books are called? Ready Player 2 and Ready Player 3. I guess he like bought the titles or whatever before the book was released, the first book. He's got them ready. But he says that because he grew up loving so many trilogies like Star Wars or Indiana Jones, he thinks of stories in three parts. And the second half is a darker half.
So only if they picked up from different characters, like if the next one was Artemis's and then the third one was Wade's, then I think it would be cool.
Oh my God, I want to see one from H's point of view. That would be amazing.
Oh yeah, that's H. Sorry, I meant H.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be so great. Yeah. But as long as it's not like, the same story.
It'd be like, he could do like an Ender's Game where the next ones follow Bean instead of Ender. Like that might, that worked out pretty well for us in Scott Card, so.
Yeah. What about if the second book starts with, and then Wade, press the button and turn the Oasis off. So now we'll have to, like, get the world together again.
That would probably be I could say that being the last one. Like, if you didn't touch on that, it'd be very strange.
I would like the book to start with, so I waved goodbye to Wade as he blasted off in his spaceship and thought, cool, I'm in charge now. And that can be...
thank God.
Or that can be either of them. Because that would be totally fine with me, but I don't know, I just thought that was interesting, especially because as I was reading it I kept thinking like, this is such a good standalone book, you know, so rare to get a good solid standalone book. And then he was like, just kidding, it's gonna be a trilogy. So who knows. And final piece of trivia, did you know that there was a real Easter egg hunt in the Ready Player One book, which I did not know
but
when the book came out, there was, I guess, like a website or something hidden in the text. You know how Wade goes on at the start about how, like, he finds the first clue because the letters have little, like, notches in them?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Ernest Cline did the same thing in the book, and people found, like, a website, and it took them to the first gate, and then there were three gates, same as in the book. And then the winner at the end was this guy who got, like, the world's highest score on some video game, and he won a DeLorean.
Yeah, he got...
That's amazing.
That is insane.
Yeah, which I just thought was super cool. And I think he said that if he does sequels, he'll do another like Easter egg hunt in those as well.
Oh my God.
What's funny is that he got the high score on Joust, which was the first game that he had to play. Yeah, so it was actually really awesome. That's cool.
So full circle. I love it.
I know. Right? Being a geek pays off.
Seriously, it's like such a happy ending. It's such a beautiful thing. Although, you know, I think there might be a little more competition for Ready Player 2 and 3 now. Do you think there'll be like, oh, imagine if they did one for the movie. Like,
I know.
Imagine if they put in little... Oh, that would be so amazing.
Uh-huh. That would be the smartest marketing tool.
Yeah, seriously.
Do you realize how many times people go see that movie in theaters? That would be so smart.
But also just for the promotional campaign before, like on posters and in trailers and stuff.
It could only work for promotional material, though, couldn't it? Because release dates are not exactly the same for the movie.
But who cares about Europe?
In North America solving it first.
That's fine.
I think we'll just give away like premiere tickets or something. I feel like Harry Potter did this because
my grandparents
are like they like to buy Coca-Cola, and I swear to God, like I have all these random little like puzzle pieces for Harry Potter for one of the movies lying around my house somewhere. Because they're like, you could win a trip to the premiere. I never won a trip to the premiere, by the way.
Did one of the Hunger Games promotional campaigns do something similar where you had to find clues and stuff? Well, someone did it recently.
I don't remember. For Hunger Games.
For the trailer, if you wanted to unlock the trailer, you had to.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, Harry Potter did that, didn't they? Like, they had on the websites, like, you had to find clues, and I don't know. Anyway, it would be cool.
Yeah, if they didn't do it at minimum in promotional campaign, that's like, fire those publicity people and hire the Mockingjay team.
Yes.
Because they know what's up. Or Maze Runner now. They're also doing a great job.
That's true.
Okay, so that's it for our Ready Player One discussion. We hope you guys enjoyed. I'm sure you'll have a lot of feedback for us. Some different opinions there, so hopefully you found someone you agreed.
We have lots of feedback. We had all those people saying they wanted to visit Hogwarts, but we have a bit we can bring up.
That's where I was going with this.
I'm sorry. I thought you were wrapping up. I was like, wait.
No, it's fine. So you can let us know what you thought about our discussion in the comments on Hypeable or on Twitter at Hypeable Hype, which is what some people did. We asked what you thought before we started recording. Selena, did you want to grab that first one?
Sure, I can. Oliver Baxter said he loved Ready Player One, enjoyed the contrast between the dystopian slums and the digital universe where anyone could have value. See, that is interesting. And we touched on this a little bit, but what is value? You know, what is cool? You know, in the virtual space, I don't know. There's so much to discuss.
We're getting deep. Well, yeah, value is deep. A white dude, apparently.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Like, is it? Is it not?
Yeah. Mm. And Tucker said to us, I really liked the book. The biggest issue I had is that Ernest Cline didn't wrap up the world issues outside of the Oasis. Yes, Tucker, we are so on the same side. And I promise I didn't read this to know that I agreed with it before I read it out loud. But well done, me. And we also asked you guys where you would visit in the Oasis. And like I said, you basically all said Hogwarts, but some of you had some other ideas. So Maddie said, I would visit all Star Wars world. They didn't mention it, but Hogwarts has to have its own world. Ning said, as many as is humanly possible, I want to learn about all the fandoms, # greedy, # overly ambitious. So I guess Ning would be one of those people who is like online for 17 hours a day. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what we're saying. I mean, if they want to go to all of the worlds, like that takes a lot of time, just saying. It's not a criticism.
But you have
it's a
time.
If you have the time to do it, do it. Caitlin said Hogwarts. Katie said Hogwarts, but also Middle Earth. Definitely want to visit the Shire and Lothlorien. There must
all
be something
Katies
about
in
Katies
the
in the Shire. I love it. And
Ingeborg
said, yes. Ingeborg said, does Hogwarts count? Because I would choose Hogwarts. Every time. Man, you guys really want to go to Hogwarts. Pam, did you want to grab those last couple?
Sure. Sage McKay says Hogwarts, but the Buffyverse sounds appealing to you. Only if you could be a slayer or something, though.
Oh, it'd be funny if you like became a vampire. You're like, oh, damn it.
Could you imagine, like, that would be crazy, like, plot twist, right? You could go anywhere you wanted, but then when you got zapped into the world, like, the world would pick your destiny,
oh,
and then
God.
You have to just go out.
Oh, that
oh,
would
no.
be so
cool.
Play that part, yeah, because someone
you
would have
Hogwarts
to be.
And you'd be a squib, it would suck.
Oh, my God.
You'd be
I
the giant squib.
No, you couldn't be a squib, because squibs aren't allowed to go to Hogwarts.
That's right.
What about Filch?
Side note for another time, like, we had this so conversation mean. At work. like, would you rather be a muggle or would you rather be a squib?
Oh, God.
Seriously. So I just want you guys to think about that later.
Squib.
We'll answer that on Hype.
The last comment we have is from Oliver Baxter, and he says, I would probably only spend time on a planet where you could act out every single episode of Saved by the Bell.
That's random.
Love that.
I like it.
Love it.
You guys.
That is a, I think that's a nice range of responses. I'm kind of surprised that we had people who said things other than Hogwarts. So props to you guys for being more creative than we were. So that is it for our Hype special. We will be back with our regularly scheduled episode as normal. And we will let you know the next time we're doing one of these. I don't think we have any plans for any in particular. Do we? I mean, I'm campaigning for the Martian
Hunger Games.
When it comes.
For
Hunger
sure.
Games.
The Martian, yes.
Hunger Games.
Star Wars.
There
are a lot of things coming out. We will let you know when they're organized so that you can give us your feedback. And we might have some more special guests. Katie, thank you so much for joining us.
Yay. Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime. We love having people to tell that they're wrong and that their opinion is just kidding. Okay, so until next time, I'm Marima.
I'm Selena.
I'm Pam.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Katie.
And that was a total success.
That worked.
Yeah.
Wow. That was awesome. Wow. I'm so impressed right now.
Me too.
Those are amazing things about the Oasis.
No, sorry. No, like, Ali.
It always happens.
Do we like go fram as a bear with scope on?
This is my favorite part of Hype Secret.
I love this.
Seriously.
Yeah, I'm defeated. Bagot.
No, just Pam, when are you gonna wow us?
He terrified me. I got so scared. He like looked in through my door and I was like,
seriously. I feel like I heard you jump.
I know, I did jump.
I heard you jump too.
This is like someone disturbing me in the Oasis, guys.
seriously.
This is exactly
how dare you have
the same
real human contact.
That's so perfect.